I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. For on this Sabbath day, we come for rest and we come for invitation to be more like God. We come together as family to welcome each other, and especially today to say Happy Father's Day to those of us who are those of you who are fathers, and others who every one of us who have fathers, we are thankful to them on the gift of this day. This is a special day in the church as well because it is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is a very culminating Sunday that helps us complete all the cycle from Easter to Pentecost and celebrating all that has happened thus far. And we will initiate next Sunday the season of growth and green and all of the newness of the life in the church that continues. So Trinity Sunday is a bookend Sunday as we finish Pentecost and move into what the Presbyterian calendar calls ordinary time, which I think there is no such thing. But then this Trinity Sunday, we will do a couple of special things. One is we will sing a new, a familiar tune, but some new words to the doxology. And it's printed in your bulletin, and using the words for the Trinity will help us remember that God is three persons all together, and we'll get that whole thing defined in that doxology. I know I wanted to say mission committee meeting will be postponed to a date that will you'll be noted. You'll be contacted about when the next mission committee meeting, ministry meeting. It is not today. And also, this is a little bit early, but it's good to throw out. July the 14th is a congregational meeting when you will gather and elect the next class of deacons. So right after church on July 14th, that'll be in print later. But I'm feeling like if there are any other announcements that anyone wishes to share, now would be a good time for that. Announcement time. Anybody have any other announcements? We are in for some good music this morning. Let me tell you, they've been practicing this piece. It's going to be lovely. Yeah. All right. So given that we have come to worship and to be lifted up and to realize God's presence, let us continue as Ethan leads us as we responsively share this psalm.
On page 556 in your pew Bible, today we are reading Psalm 42, verses 1 through 4. As the deer pants for a stream of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My tears been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? With this word of God to the people of God.
Thank you.
We stand before Almighty God in faith that God will be quick to mercy and quick to pardon. As we have been active in our lives this week, we know there are places that we have either participated in or have seen people missing the mark. So in our sense of community and togetherness now, let us confess our sin together. In your holy presence, O God, we mourn our divisions, acknowledge our fearfulness, and admit our shameful silence in the face of injustice. Holy God, forgive the smallness of our vision and our lack of concern. Spoil any pleasure we enjoy at the expense of another. Ignite our commitment to reconciliation. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And we know that as we are forgiven, we are washed clean and free to begin again. In the words of the Trinity that we talk about, the sense of overflowing love comes from God. The sense of Jesus' washing us clean comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the sense of the flowing river that continues to move through us is that of the Holy Spirit. So in these waters, we are blessed by God, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in three, three in one. Let us declare what we believe. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. With that sense of the river flowing through us and the connection that we have to extend to one another, we share the peace of Christ with those of us standing in the pews together and with as far as God's love reaches here and around the world. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that sign. Peace of Christ be with you.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated as we prepare to hear the word of the Lord. In Proverbs 8, Solomon again writes about wisdom as if she were a person. Wisdom is a call for everyone, everywhere, and has been woven into all that God created from the beginning of time. The wisdom we need for a well-ordered, practical life is not hidden or evading our understanding. Instead, it is entwined with our right understanding of our Creator. In our pursuit of divine wisdom, the Bible is our source. And while some passages seem complicated, the fundamental truths of the Bible are plain to those who trust God and honor His word. True wisdom leads us to faithful action. Please turn in your pew Bibles to page 631 as I read Proverbs 1 through 4 and 22 through 26. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the path meets, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. Then, when there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were set in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can take it over there. Yeah, that's fine. All right, good morning. All right, so Aiden, you told me in Sunday school, what's special about today? What's the special on the calendar? It's Father's Day. Okay, so do any of your dads ever tell jokes? No, not at all. Yeah, some. Well, my dad's famous, and a lot of dads are famous for telling some corny jokes. So I have some that I don't tell, and then you, if you think of one, you can tell it. All right, why, Kinsley? Why did the banana put on sunscreen? Oh, you've heard. Yeah, see, it sounds like your dad's told you this one before, because he didn't want to peel. All right, okay, Ethan, you know this one. Ready? What did the buffalo say to his son when he dropped him off for college? Bye, son. All right.
Not even funny.
Not even funny? Okay. They're supposed to be corny. That's why they're dad jokes. Okay, Kinsley, last one. What?
Dads aren't funny.
I'm trying to remember. What do you say to Avery when she's really upset? Are you having a crisis? No, you don't say that one. Maybe next time. All right. So.
I get it because she's crying.
And she's her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have to explain it, it doesn't work as well. So, I want to tell you a dad joke that Jesus kind of made in the Bible. Do you believe Jesus told a lot of jokes?
No.
No? He was.
He's more of a healing guy.
You think he's too serious? Yeah, he's more of a healing guy than a funny guy. Well, a lot of people have translated this part of the Bible to mean, it's kind of maybe he was joking. A lot of people think maybe he was joking. But we read it in Sunday school, but Jesus said that it's harder for a rich person to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Now, Silas, do you sew a lot? No, you don't sew very much. Needle in the haystack, yeah. But the eye of the needle is that little tiny part that you put the thread through to start the sewing machine, or to start sewing. Right. But Jesus might have actually, some people think, that he might have actually been making a joke, and the eye of the needle was a nickname for a gate. And when the main gate in the city would close, the big gate would close for the night, there was a smaller gate. It might be called the eye of the needle. It was hard to get your camel through. You had to take all the stuff off the camel. So, now, Jesus did a lot for us, right? Jesus sacrificed a lot for us. Yeah. But our dads, similarly, they sacrificed a lot for us too, right? We talked to... They're lifesavers, just like Jesus was, exactly right. They sacrifice a lot. Their time, their energy, and all those sorts of things. Their love, definitely. They give us a lot of love. Right. So. Right. And just like we talked about upstairs, and we'll talk a little bit more about how God we celebrate is God our Father. We can celebrate on this day our earthly fathers. Yes, Ethan.
Oh, my dad sacrifices the heat.
He sacrifices his comfort to go out and work in the heat. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. All right. So, will you pray with me? Dear God. We thank you for our fathers and you being our Father as well. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Miss Sandy has helped us out a lot, and we have some gifts to recognize all of our fathers who are here in attendance today, or father figures. So if you guys would help us out and stand up, and if you would recognize yourself as a father or a father figure, if you would stand up, and we're going to hand you out a little something to celebrate you. Yeah, if you are a father or father figure, it would stand up for us. That would be helpful. All right, go find somebody standing up and hand them a bag, please.
Thank you, children, and thank you, fathers. Thank you all who have received a gift, and thank you, Sandy, for helping those be ready for this morning. We continue in our series of the questions that people ask Jesus. This question is embedded a little bit in a story because it sounds like the question that Jesus asked, but I want us to focus on the way the disciples felt when they were asking this question. And this story actually comes up as a minor story, or a major story, really, after Jesus is on his way because someone has called to Jairus' daughter is not well, and a high church official has come to get Jesus to go to help heal his daughter. And on the way, there is this big crowd and commotion going on. So we will pick up in the middle of that story. Let us hear a word from the Lord. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, and there was a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you asked, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear. And she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may all the words and meditations of our mouths and hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's Trinity Sunday. Did you hear a Trinity activity going on in this story? Were there enough characters in here to help us image how the triangle might take form? We know there was the crowd, the people that were following Jesus because they knew of his reputation, and everyone in the crowd were bustling around and getting as close to him as possible. And in the crowd was the woman. We know that there were the disciples walking alongside with Jesus, working to help him stay on track and to provide what he needed and to be his support system. So there were the disciples. And then here is Jesus. Jesus, the author of life and the source of wisdom, the heart of who we love and serve. So we have an easy sense of three sets of characters: the crowd, including the woman, the disciples that are accompanying Jesus, and the source of life and well-being. The source of life and well-being looked around this busy crowd and wondered, "Who touched me?" Do you think Jesus really wondered? Because he has immanent knowledge and full awareness of everything that is going on. But he asked the disciples. He turned to his friends, those who are supporting him and buoying him up in time of prayer. And he asked the disciples, "Who touched me?" And those disciples looked at Jesus and they looked at the crowd and they said, "Are you serious, Jesus? You want us to tell you who touched you? Look at this mob. How can we figure that out?" But Jesus was wanting them to move into a stronger position of authority and care, into a stronger position of also being those power brokers themselves, so that they could learn how to heal, to touch, and to heal. And so there's an activity going on here where Jesus is asking the disciples and us to be aware of who is around us, what they need, and how we can help. Not only looking to the source of love, but being that part of the Trinity ourselves, those receivers of God's love and those who impart God's love to others. So that helps that sense of story in knowing that as we learn about how God works through us, we become the doers, not only the hearers. I really loved what Amy read this morning in the sense of the power and the wisdom and the spirit that has been with us from the beginning. That is a perfect sense of connection to our story today, because wisdom is not something that comes in at the last minute. And Jesus is not someone who comes only to save us for our sins upon the middle of time. But all three of these parts of God and God in God's wholeness have been together since the beginning of time. That sense of wisdom at the gate is one that came across so beautifully in what a favorite theologian of mine, Claudio Carvalhais, he's from Brazil, and he led the Leadership Institute the first weekend of June. He was at Pittsburgh Seminary. And the question that he asked at the seminary and for all the people that had gathered there, the question was, how does what you do in worship make a difference for the people you see in the week? How is what you do in worship make a difference for the people you see during the week? And wisdom stands at the gate, at the front of the church, in the busy crossroad, wherever wisdom needs to be, and calls us to attention. Look at who is around you. Be aware that I stand with you in the work that we have to do. But pay attention. Be ready and alert to serve those in need. The Trinity, the sense of the Holy Spirit, is that which breathes through, works through, washes through, flows through us. I couldn't find the date, but I think it was about 20 years ago that the PCUSA actually wrote a paper called The Trinity, God's Love Overflowing. And it's about a 40-page paper and goes into the specifics about why we need metaphors to be able to expand our vision of God and who all God is for us. There are pages and pages of these metaphors. And I think that if we look at just a couple, and I'm not going to read all 40 pages, but a couple that stand out for me are very beautiful. And they open the paper by saying, recognizing that all language about the triune God refers beyond itself by way of analogy, we draw on Scripture and our confessions to speak of the triune God in historically faithful yet freshly imaginative ways. Trinitarian language should be understood to amplify and enrich our understanding of God. It cannot replace personal language. As we seek God's grace and wholeness, acknowledging the sin and brokenness in us, in our human communities, and in the whole creation, God is our rainbow of promise, our ark of salvation, and our dove of peace. It's a beautiful image. The rainbow of promise, the ark of salvation, and our dove of peace. As we offer ourselves, our resources, and our gratitude in stewardship and in the Eucharist, the triune God is the giver, the gift, and the giving. The giver, the gift, and the giving. We are the giving. We are the finishing of the Trinity as we take God's love out into the world. In these and other ways, we stammer to confess that the triune God is an inexhaustible mystery of purifying and transforming love. God abides in eternal communion. Divine life is giving and receiving, sharing and delighting in reciprocal love. We receive and we give. Abundant, overflowing love is the glory, majesty, and beauty of the triune God. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we are invited to participate in the eternal life of the triune God who is love. Let's go back to the story that Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And when the woman in the crowd knew that Jesus understood that it had been her who had reached out and touched his garment, she knew that truth was being called forth from her. She didn't try to hide. She could have moved away in that crowd. It was so big, and the disciples, whether they did or didn't know who touched Jesus, would have helped to find her. So she took on a mantle of courage and stood up. And she told Jesus the truth, the whole truth, all about herself. Jesus already knew that. But the value was in the woman speaking it. The value was in the disciples realizing that Jesus was not only expecting to be the one who did all the work, but they needed to rally around and be supporters too. They were connected in this Trinitarian analogy. As we go out in mission, whether it be across the street or across the world, we are those truth bearers of the love of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Oftentimes we get opportunities beyond imagination to receive the majesty and the wonder of what God is doing in other people's lives as well. It is in that conversation. It is in that giving and sharing and then coming back to share what we have learned that God's love is expounded. This congregation is deeply involved, whether it be across the street or across the world, in being the mission givers. You are deeply involved in pursuing the truth and trying to figure out who God is calling you to be in this time and place. And you are deeply trusting that you know that God has given you the talents, God has given you the ability and the challenge to rise up and to follow him. Amen. We're going to experience that challenge today as we continue in prayer for one another and as we issue prayers around those who will go to Nairobi and Kajiado. But first, I want to invite those of you here to help me know about prayers that you have and you want to express. And actually, as we express them, we are praying. And then David Lyerly is going to come up. And those of us present, there's a good number of the team of the nine of us are here present this morning. And we will be commissioned and you will pray for us and with us and upon our return, receive us. But first, let me ask about the prayers and the joys that the congregation wants to share amongst yourselves. It is a treat to have Joyce here this morning, and we will know that tomorrow, the birthday of Hazel Dunn is 99 years old. Tomorrow. Yeah. So my birthday never gets much attention, but that's okay. But it gets a lot of attention. It's just not for me. But the idea that I'm saying it now is all week. If you haven't already done so, please flood Hazel Dunn with birthday wishes and calls and cares. I also know that I was told about a gentleman that someone met at Harris Teeter this morning, and they were. The gentleman here was clearly on their way to church in a suit and tie and invited the gentleman at Harris Teeter to come to church. And he said, I am very sad. I have to work on Sundays. I cannot come to church. I wish I could. So this man's name is Lee, and we are extending our hearts and prayers and concerns for him across the street. I wonder if there are others for whom we want to pray. Anything that you... Yes, Melody. Hi.
My mother had surgery. She had her retina detached, so she had to have surgery with her eye. Mm-hmm. And she's has such a positive attitude, is so grateful, even in the midst of not being able to see out of that eye. And so she's just slowly regaining some sight. Everything's slanted right now. And the sun hurts her eyes. And so I just pray that she'll receive her sight back, you know, with time, and the healing process will be a good recovery for her.
Thank you, Melody, and Charles, too, I know, expressed that sense. We have been aware of and praying with Kay Matthews because of her surgery for her detached retina, and recovery is happening slowly, and we continue to hope that continues, and she's regaining full sight as fast as possible. Thank you, Dale. I saw somebody's hand, or who are you pointing to? Oh, you're pointing. Oh, you're raising your hand. Dale, please. The Catawba River did a flood, and thank you to Cook's Memorial for hosting some guests, as they did not have a place to sleep because their homes were flooded totally all across the river. Thank you, Dale. Please, Nan. You're talking. Okay. David. Heather's father had surgery this month. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Monday.
And they're actually here celebrating Lynn's birthday.
Okay. Very, very good.
I'm praying that he'll listen and take it easy and not aggravate
it. Yeah. Heather's father is recovering well from his surgery. Some of you probably know that Phyllis Monteith has been scheduled for surgery on July the 18th, that Thursday afternoon, and she's feeling very, very positive and hopeful about that. So we'll remember her as that time comes. Sherry, please.
I have two family members, cancer, both young. My niece, Kevin's niece, through Kevin, had a bone marrow transplant this week. Her sister donated, and she was a match. So everything's working so far. She's back down to zero. We celebrated her second birthday, literally, as she began. She had to have her DNA done before, so that because her DNA changes after the transplant. So it's interesting, but she's fine. She's 27 years old. And then his brother that just passed away, the brother's wife, just had was going through cancer treatment and chemo and getting ready for a mastectomy for breast cancer. So it's just been one thing after another, but we're praying, and so far everything's going well. And Rudy's almost getting ready to graduate.
Rudy's about to graduate, but we also want to remember Kevin's family experiencing cancer treatments and struggles and health struggles, and Kevin too, as he continues to get on his feet. I want to invite those who are here, or first let me just mention a couple. All of that prayer has been expressed and heard and felt by God, I know. And then I want you to know that Linda Bannister, Jody, and Chris Hummer are three of the nine who will be going to Caggiato, but they're not present. However, Jason, Liam, and Jennifer, and one other's present. Gianna is busy this morning, but she's going. So please, and Gay, List, you need to come, and David, please come forward. And you all have in your bulletins a closing prayer. David Lyerly is going to commission the group that is going, and then we will pray together and continue our worship. So why don't you stand here and be loud?
Yeah, just ask my family. I don't have a problem being loud. As Lyndon mentioned, we do have a team that's leaving on Thursday, flying through London and then down to Nairobi and then down the much. So do you, the members of the 2019 mission trip to the Caggiato Children's Home, promise to journey to Kenya with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit?
We do.
Do you promise to greet the children, teachers, parents, and leaders with humility and wonder for all they have to teach you, and a spirit of cooperation for all you can discover together?
We do.
Do you promise to return with a commitment to share your experiences, to enlighten your supporters, and to continue to be witnesses of God's good news wherever you might be?
We do.
Do we, the members and friends of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, promise to pray for encouragement, energy, and faithfulness as these friends travel, minister, and nurture their own inspiration as they conduct the work of this delegation. If you guys, as a congregation, would respond, we do. Let us pray. We surround these brothers and sisters with our love and support as they embark for Caggiato Children's Home. May the gifts they deliver and the work of their hands symbolize both the joy of our earthly relationships and the connection from you that embraces us all. Breathe through us with a Pentecostal fervor that enlightens our hearts and blesses our labor by manifesting vision into real and lasting relationships. In the name, power, and love of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Audrey Brady, and I'm the elder for congregational care. But before I get into that, I have a dad joke. I've got two, but one of them I don't know if I should say. Why did the chicken cross the playground? To get to the other slide. The other one I'll tell you later. Okay. Congregational care. The largest part of congregational care are the deacons, and I want to thank all of them. They do a great job. Their moderator is Jeannie McClure, and I do want to thank them for their dedication and work. They're divided into three groups right now, and that can change. Homebound, new members, and special needs. And that includes, like, if someone's in the hospital or just needs a meal or a visit, they're there for you. So if you need anything, call the church office, call Jeannie, call me, and we'll help you out. Other responsibilities of congregational care are the nurse ministry, newborn ministry, our prayer chain, and Cheryl made me publish the directory. against my will. In past years, congregational care has sponsored educational seminars. We did one with hospice, and last year we did one with the Sheriff's Department for active shooter training. This year we started doing first Sunday lunch with Fellowship and Christian Ed with the goal to teach life lessons, promote personal and social consciousness. So if anybody has any ideas of what you would like presented, either a short presentation after first lunch or any other time, we can do several seminars. Just let me know if you want to teach something even better. So if you have any questions about congregational care, just contact me. If not, just please pray for the deacons and our other people on my ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey, and I'm appreciating that you've had a chance to hear from a number of elders on the session to hear a little more of the flesh and blood that goes with the structure of the ministry of Cook's Memorial, and that's been an intentional, desired educational piece for some people that might not know about the whole scope of the ministry of the church. So you'll continue to hear from elders as we move through this season. I'm also remembering, I want to share with you, I'll be gone the next two Sundays, but next Sunday we have Reggie Crumroy, who is from the Gideon's International, and he will be leading a part of the worship as, alongside of Sherry Cook. And then on the 30th, we will have Dan, you will have Dan Griggs, who is your preacher and leading worship, which will be fabulous on the 30th. So I know that you've already promised to pray for us as we're gone, but everything's in great hands as you continue your ministry and now as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Of fatherhood. We pray that as fathers,
biological or otherwise, we will accept and understand our responsibilities, that we will take them seriously as we seek and follow your guidance in fulfilling them. Amen. And now the work of worship begins. Let us go out into the world and share the love of Jesus Christ. Let us go out into this beautiful day knowing that Sabbath rest is ours to absorb, and then tomorrow it is our energy to go and do. And may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and the fellowship of this Holy Communion abide with you now and forevermore.
Amen.